Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here, and it's good to be gone next week to our new place. It will be on Sunday, so don't show up on Saturday. We won't be there. We've been looking for this for so long, and God has finally opened up the door when headquarters said, like it or lump it, we're going to move. So God opened the door for us, and he always does. We've got a great God who opens doors that only he can open. To God be the glory. Let's continue with prayer. Father, we just thank you so very much that you are in charge, that we don't have to worry about anything. You've got it in full control. And all we need to do is hold your hand and follow you wherever you go, and to keep our eyes fixed on you and to seek your will above everything else. And God, we just commit this time to you and ask you to open our eyes to see what you want us to see in these very important verses about John the Baptist and your son as they were in the process of being born and all the things that we can learn from them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture is in Luke 1, verses 68 through 79. And I just wanted to ask a quick question. Don't feel like you have to raise your hand, but I just wondered how many of you have ever listened to PBS FM on the radio. I just wondered if there was a channel like that. But I've got a channel straight to God. It's called PBS FM. Did you know that? There's CBS and there's PBS FM. You know what PBS FM is? Prayer, Bible study, fasting, and meditation. So those are the special tools that God has given to us to have direct access to our Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And as we are focusing now on this month, Christmas, or the birth of Jesus Christ, and last week it was Cliff covered online about the second coming of Christ. Now, beginning in December, we're now focusing on John the Baptist today, and then next week we'll hear more about the birth of Jesus Christ when Anthony's here next week. But John the Baptist here is very important to God. We're going to read this, and it's extremely exciting and interesting to see how God prepared this all about and how it came about in situations that were impossible. And we'll be focusing on John the Baptist and his preparatory role of preparing the way for Jesus Christ's first coming. And in like manner, we are in the same preliminary role of preparing the way for Christ's second coming. And it's very important for us to learn from what happened the first time so we can do what we need to be doing for his second coming. The scripture that is focused on Luke 1, 68 through 79 is the song of Zechariah. Anybody know who Zechariah is? Anybody have a child or grandkid named Zechariah? There's a book about him back in the Old Testament, just before Malachi, Zechariah, Malachi. And this story that we're going to read and this song that he wrote features the importance of taking time to meditate. And isn't that what we do when we pray? That's the time when we meditate with God. We're listening to God. When we read the scriptures, the Bible study, that is where God speaks to us directly. And you know you've got the truth because it's the Word of God. And fasting is when you go without food so that you can really focus on God because you're hurting. And you say, God, help me through this fast so that I can fill myself with the spiritual bread that you have available to me. And the meditation is critical all day long. We need to be meditating about, reflecting about, what are we learning from all of our experiences? What is God teaching us day in and day out? So let's begin in chapter 1 of Luke. We're going to read the whole chapter because I love context and it helps us to get the picture. In verse 1 of Luke 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, Luke says, since I myself have carefully investigated everything because he gave a whole overview of the life of Jesus Christ chronologically. That's what the book of Luke is all about. It goes into great detail. That's why it's such a long book. Beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. And so he says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was Elizabeth. Now we hear about Elizabeths today, but not too many Zecharias. Was also a descendant of Aaron. Anybody know who Aaron was? Moses' sidekick. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, or being above reproach. But they had no kids, no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. So something is going to happen. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, because they used to cast lots, kind of like Vegas, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Good thing to do. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. That's one of the 365 commands in the Bible about don't be afraid about anything. Fear not, be not afraid, and so on. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you have to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine, so he couldn't have participated here. No, he could have used the grape juice. But he never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. We have to wait till we're baptized and have the laying out of hands to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had it from birth. Interesting. Because he had a very special mission God had in store for him before he was even born. Many of the people of Israel will be brought back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's the last verse in the Old Testament. And he was there to fulfill it, and we're still continuing to fulfill that same verse by preparing the way for Jesus Christ's second coming. So Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? This is a question you never want to ask God. Why do you think that's a bad thing to ask God? Do you sense anything in that phraseology? Do you sense any doubt? How many of you have read James chapter 1? James chapter 1 says, if you doubt what God says, it's the scripture most Christians have never read except glossing over it because it never has sunk in. Because when you doubt anything God says, expect nothing because that's what you're going to get. Wow, that's quite a scripture. Read it for yourself. It's a wake-up call. Anyway, going on. The angel answered. He says, I am an old man. My wife is well along in years. How's this going to happen? Give me a break. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And God tells us a lot of things to do, and we need to believe and not say, I'm not so sure about this. How can I be sure? Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he was staying so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So maybe that's the first time they had sign language. maybe an instant gift of sign language and interpretation as well. But anyway, when his time of service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Interesting. She wanted to stay out of sight. I looked it up online in 7 or 8 different places that talked about the age of them. Nobody gave the answer, but they sure wanted you to read it. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. So in the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph and Mary, remember? The ones raising Jesus as a baby until he was on his own. A descendant of David was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." There's another one. "Mary, you have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." And in case you're wondering if that's only talking about Jacob, the Israelites, and those who are over in Israel today and all that, that's not true, because you got to understand the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of the spiritual dimension. And Galatians 3:26 or 29, where it says that when Jesus Christ is living in you, then that's when that is fulfilled. And so he goes on to say, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And that's why we can really rejoice at what God has in store, because we are going to be a part of that kingdom that never ends, and we are going to have eternal life. But listen to this. Now we see a little different phraseology by Mary than what Zachariah said. Now, Zachariah was a cool guy, but Mary was top of the line. She had faith. Listen to this. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." She just wanted to know how that was going to come about. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. Giselle, you can relate to that, can't you? So this is where she was, 6 months along, and Jesus was not yet conceived. He was in the process of being conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by Joseph. "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." Don't forget that. That does not apply just to babies. It applies to everything we pray about. "Nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So here's the difference. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to you as you have said." And the angel left her. No doubt whatsoever. So shall it be written. So shall it be done. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the silk country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, because this was exciting. Here you have two elderly women getting pregnant and having babies. And greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And as Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And so there, Mary then sings a song, and just like Zechariah is going to sing a song here. But Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." So all the glory was going to God. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble, and he has filled the hungry with good things." This is Jesus at work. He's always blessing people. And that's what God wants Jesus to be doing through us. Jesus was always blessing people, and God wants us to become a messenger of blessing. And he's setting a good example here. He's filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful and to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And so Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So they must have been pretty close to hang out for 3 months. But of course, they had something very much in common and a very exciting revelation from Gabriel and from God. And now the birth of John the Baptist. "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby and she gave birth to a son, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared their joy. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child," because that was the way it was done in the Old Testament. And even today, we do that pretty much as the norm, because that is the day on which the coagulation is the greatest so that it doesn't get too bloody. God has designed that into the eighth day for the circumcision. "So on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, 'No, he is to be called John.' And they said to her, 'There's no one among your relatives who's got that name. How'd you come up with that?' Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, 'His name is John.' So shall it be written, so shall it be done. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God." And we're going to see that in this song here. Because God was teaching him a lesson, and he's teaching us a lesson too, to make sure we're our messengers of blessing. And sometimes God has to give us a trial. He couldn't speak for a lengthy period of time until God was ready. But we all have to learn these lessons called faith and love and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit. He goes on to say, "His neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things, and everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, 'What then is this child going to be?' For the Lord's hand was with him." And now here is the scripture that we're focusing on today. "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." And now notice, as we go through here, all the things that Zechariah, he was a high priest, he knew the truth and so on. And he says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." Because he knew about this prophecy in the Old Testament that a Savior would be coming. "He has raised up a horn." The horn represents strength. If you've ever seen, I saw that on the TV here last week, where this, what is it that has that horn on his nose? That's a, not a rhinoceros, pretty strong. It can just take and lift you up and throw you over the fence. It's a lot of strength. "He has raised up a horn of salvation," and that's what he's given to us. This is the hope that he's given to us. It gives us great strength throughout our trials that we're going through. It's important for us to realize that we need to see things through God's perspective and from his promises, that they are, you can count on them, even if you have to wait 25 years like Abraham had to wait for his son after God had promised it. "For as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies." Now what's interesting, as he was singing these things, most of these things that are he's talking about have not come to pass yet. And so they're having to wait a couple of thousand years before these are actually being fulfilled to the fullness. Because Israel and we hasn't been delivered from all of their enemies today. Neither have we. I mean, God delivers us out of all of our afflictions, but we still have wars, and we have many of our relatives and maybe our children have been in wars, and some have been killed and so on. So this hasn't fully been fulfilled yet, because it's talking about God is going to bring this to pass through Jesus. And John the Baptist was a preliminary. He was paving the way for Jesus' first coming, who is going to do this. And we see that. And so a lot of times God tells us something, but it is not yet being fulfilled, because it will be fulfilled. God speaks of those things that be not as though they were, as his word says, because he's going to bring it to pass. And salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. We have a lot of people around the world that hate us because they want to be in charge. They would like to destroy the United States as well as our country. But to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And that was 2,000 years before Zechariah was singing this song. And again, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. We'll come back to that later. And to enable us to serve him without fear. Because that's what God has given to us. He's given us what's important. He has not given us a spirit body. He hasn't delivered us from all of our enemies, but he has given us the most important part. He's given us the spiritual part. The spiritual part is the faith, joy, love, patience, gentleness, everything that is necessary in order for us to live for eternity. Because God is not going to have another Lucifer on his hands that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. You're out of here. So that's why we have to go through these things to make sure we are being prepared for glory. And to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. That's what history is about. It's his story. History. It's the story of Jesus and what he is doing in our lives. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. So here's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing the way for Jesus Christ's first coming. We are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And look at what he says needs to be done here. To prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. And we have that up. There's about seven different things here that are being spoken of that we can begin doing now, just like John the Baptist was foretold to do when he was here preparing the way for Christ's first coming and his death and resurrection that saved us from sin because of his forgiveness and sacrifice on the cross. To give his people the knowledge of salvation, because a lot of people just don't know that. I know in the prison ministry, a lot of these guys say, we've never heard these things. They are just so excited to be able to hear the truth and to have hope, because a lot of them have life sentences and to be able to have a purpose of life and to know that God is going to work all this out. And prison was not their lifetime verdict, because there is a much bigger verdict, and it's called eternal life that is going to be given to us that human beings can't take away from you. He goes on to say, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, that's Jesus Christ, rising sun will come to us from heaven. He's going to come back with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what he's talking about here. to shine on those living in darkness, because the world lies in wickedness. It lies in darkness. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he is the light of the world. We are the little lights of the world. We shine wherever we go. He's going to circle the globe and completely, the whole world is going to see him when he, that's alive when he comes back. And all those who are dead in Christ are going to be resurrected to see him. And the rest of those are going to see him at the end of the 1,000 years. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished, Revelation 20 says. So they're going to see him, but they're going to see him after he has worked for 1,000 years to get things on track before the second resurrection, when shortly thereafter the Father comes down and everything is going to change. And there will be no more pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So it's very exciting to see what God has in store and what he wants us to be doing now. He wants us to be preparing the way for Jesus Christ's coming, just like John the Baptist was preparing the way, and he was destined for that. That was his mission from the very beginning, and it spells it out in this whole chapter, showing that those who have the Holy Spirit need to understand that we have a mission, and we are here to bring this salvation to people, because we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. A lot of people think, oh, I don't believe any of that stuff. But we can be praying. We can just say, God, give me the opportunity to share this with individuals who you want to know. God can read hearts. We can't. But we can pray and say, God, open my eyes to see who it is that you want me to share the good news with. Because we have priceless news that we can share with individuals. And do you know your reward in heaven is going to be determined by what you do now? It says his reward is with him to give every man according to his work. That's what it is. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. What we do is going to determine your reward in heaven. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation is a gift. But your reward in the kingdom is determined by how well you fulfill the role of John the Baptist. It's something to think about, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so very much that you have given us such a glorious calling. It is beyond comprehension. We want to be ministers of blessing. We want to be a messenger of blessing so that we can. There's so many people that are lost. They feel hopeless. They feel helpless. They don't know what to do. And we can build relationships with people. And then when they have issues or whatever, we can pray with them. And if they're receptive to that prayer, then you might even open their eyes to see the truth. Because no man can come to you, you said, Jesus, your son said, except the Father who has sent me draws them. And so we know, Father, that you are the one who reads the hearts and you are the one who draws people. Help us to stay close to you and to seek your will. And to be on a mission. You told us, you commanded us, go and make disciples of all nations. That was the last thing you said before you ascended to heaven. Go and make disciples of all people groups, all nations. So help us to do that. And help us to be asking you how we can become a messenger of blessing to let people know that we have good news. And we can share with them how difficult it is in this world today and how overwhelming these trials and so forth that people are going through. But we have hope, and that hope is a gift from you. And we thank you for the hope that you've given to us, the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life. And that hope is a reality in the making, in the process. And we can share this with anybody that you want us to share it with. So open our eyes to see and give us the faith and the determination and the wisdom to know how to do exactly what you've called us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.